The title, Lucky Broken Girl. It's a coming-of-age tale. His family emigrated from Castro's Cuba to New York City. Just when this Ruthie finally begins to gain confidence in her mastery of English, there's a car accident, dot, dot, dot. Let's bring that next guest in to converse. She's here in Michigan, Ann Arbor, doing great things with the University of Michigan in her acclaimed authoring of adult fiction and nonfiction. Ruth Behar on the line. Ruth, good morning to you.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Any author in Michigan gets special billing here on the morning show, and I know you do good things. Anthropology professor at the University of Michigan, where you also certainly co-edit and more, and I trust Cuba is of importance to you as you write about it. So congratulations on your success, Ruth.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And this coming-of-age tale about a Ruthie, lucky broken girl. What's the plot, in your words, Ruth?
Well, you have already kind of shared it. It is two stories coming together. There is an immigrant story, the actual story of our immigration from Cuba to the United States, specifically to New York. So there's that story, and then that story converges with the story of the car accident and my breaking my leg very terribly, my right leg, such that I needed to be in a body cast for a year. I couldn't leave my bed, and that was so the two legs would grow evenly. The doctor was concerned that I was 9.5, 10 years old at the time, that the legs would grow unevenly if only one cast was put on the broken leg, so I ended up with a cast on both legs that came all the way up my waist and left me in bed for a year. The cast was changed a couple of times. And so the story is about this immigrant family that has just fled Castro's Cuba, and suddenly they have a girl in bed to take care of. So it's both the story of the girl coping with this change in her life, and then the family and the friends and the neighbors trying to figure out how to help this girl heal.
And is this girl you?
This girl is me and not me. This definitely happened to me. This car accident was real, and I remember it vividly, and I was indeed in bed for a year, and my mother had to care for me, and I can never forget that time in my life because it totally changed my path in life. But at the same time, Ruthie is a fictional character, so she's based on me, but I think of her as smarter and more resilient and sharper than I probably was at that time. So she's kind of a better Ruthie than I ever was.
So writing about your history, what inspired you to write this story? At what point in life has you sit down to begin that journey through your memory?
Well, I think it was a story that I carried with me for forever, you know, since I was 10 and I have now turned 60. So 50 years later, half a century later, I just started thinking about it again. And actually, I had tried to tell the story from an adult perspective many, many years ago, looking back on this experience, which did traumatize me in many ways and left me uncertain about my body and afraid always that something might happen to my leg again. And so I had all this kind of leftover trauma, which I've lived with since, you know, since the time I was a girl. But then actually a total stranger who had read that essay about the adult woman looking back, she said to me at one point, why don't you write this from the girl's perspective? And I had had that idea in my mind for a very, very long time, but somehow could never find the correct moment to do that writing. I was always too busy doing other things, being an anthropologist. But I just sat down and started writing in Ruthie's voice, or what I thought could be Ruthie's voice, the girl, just the girl speaking and feeling and going through this experience. And before I knew it, it just started flowing in this 10-year-old girl's voice, and I literally just surrendered to the voice, and it felt right. And as I wrote more and more, I realized it was a book for kids, that it was going to be from a child's perspective, with her sense of language, her sense of understanding of things, and it evolved very, very organically and very quickly, actually. Though it started as kind of a set of vignettes, of kind of little moments that I remembered, and then I started taking those moments and embellishing them a bit, and that's where it started to become fiction.
That's great. Let's talk about a couple of perhaps themes. You admit that your own coming-of-age story was unusual, mixing this immigrant native narrative with a girl's story of healing, becoming whole again. And how about your identity, the Cuban and Jewish identity?
Well, that's a very, very big part of my life and definitely of this story as well. You see this family that has this very interesting mix of cultures, both the Cuban culture is very deep, and the family speaks Spanish, and the mother cooks Cuban food, and Ruthie helps the mother make a flan for dessert, and I mean, you know, you see all of the culture of Cuba and lots of nostalgia for Cuba. At the same time, there's the Jewish identity. It's a secular Jewish family, so they're not extremely religious, but there's certainly an awareness of their Jewishness. And one character who figures prominently and who was indeed a very dear person in my life is the maternal grandmother. And the maternal grandmother was an immigrant from Poland to Cuba in the 1920s, and then in the 60s was an immigrant again from Cuba to the United States. And so she shares her story with Ruthie, and that's where we kind of get this Jewish, this historical Jewish background comes in through the grandmother's story, who's talking about going to Cuba all by herself when she was 18 and trying to find her way, and then ending up loving Cuba and never expecting to leave, and then having to leave in the 60s. So all of this gets passed on to Ruthie, and that's how she starts to think about this mix of identities. But there are also a lot of characters in the book who come from other immigrant backgrounds, and that was something I really wanted to highlight, because growing up in New York, I was surrounded by people of different immigrant backgrounds. So there's a little boy, a friend of hers who's from India. There's a girl who becomes her best friend who's from Belgium. There's a neighbor from Mexico. The physical therapist who comes in later in the book is from Puerto Rico. So there are all these people who are all kind of trying to figure out how to fit into America. And that was very much a part of my life growing up, and I really wanted to highlight that as well, so that the Cuban Jewish story is tucked in with all these other immigrant stories that are equally complex and interesting.
Ruth Behar with us. You'll find her professing, University of Michigan professor in the art of anthropology, and also authoring Lucky Broken Girl. Ruth, a final question. Tell me about the title.
Well, you know, I came up with that title because I thought the story is about a broken girl. And initially I was thinking Broken Girl or The Broken Girl, but I wasn't happy with that because Ruthie is a broken girl, but she does heal. And the story is about going through something terrible to find your luck. And so by the end of the story, she has healed. She still has a scar inside that she will always carry from this experience. But she's also lucky because in the process of being in bed for a year, she's learned so much about herself, about her community, about love, and about hatred, because she, for a long time, feels a tremendous amount of hatred for the boys who caused the accident, because the accident was caused by these young men who were coming from a discotheque and driving so fast that the car flew over the divider and ended up on the other side of the highway, landing on the car right in front of Ruthie's family's car. So she's very angry with these boys for a long time, even though they have all died in the accident, but she's angry that they were driving so fast and that they put so many lives in danger. But by the end of the book, she forgives them and realizes that her anger was misplaced. So that is a big part of the book, and that's where the luck comes in, because she realizes that she's lucky because she's learned to understand so much about life, but she's also lucky because she is alive, and that's the best luck of all.
Wow, Lucky Broken Girl. Hey, you have a couple of signings coming up in early May.
I do. I'm very excited about that. I've got one on May 2nd at Literati Bookstore in Ann Arbor. And then on May 3rd, I'll be at Nicholas Books at 7 p.m. On a panel as part of Children's Book Week with a lot of other really fabulous writers. So hopefully if any of your listeners are in the Ann Arbor area, they can come to either event or both May 2nd and May 3rd.
Great. How do we find out more about Lucky Broken Girl and you, Ruth Behar?
Well, you can just look me up via my name, Ruth Behar, and I've got a website. And if you don't remember that, you can also just put in Lucky Broken Girl, and you'll get to my website the same way. So there's lots of information there about me, my life story, upcoming events, news and interviews. So, yeah, there's tons of information there.
Great. On it. Thank you very much, Lucky Broken Girl, by you, University of Michigan Professor Ruth Behar. Take care.